keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
Download the Cliff Central app, available now on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store.
Welcome.
Fashion Lab on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Fashion Lab show. My name is Lisa Gumba Regis Ford, and on today's show we are going to be talking about the footwear industry. Now, with a population of over 1 billion people in the continent, we are still a virgin market when it comes to the footwear industry. Obviously, besides the high population growth, developing economies, a booming consumer demand, we actually have the edge and capacity to build a multi-billion-dollar industry because of our abundant supply of raw materials, great design skills, and affordable labor. Now, here at Fashion Lab, we thrive to engage minds around the business behind fashion through real conversations that we have here in studio. And obviously, we care about African fashion currently and how we can move ahead. Sitting with me in studio are two lovely people. Again, my favorite people in here. Three. But I'm going to introduce my co-host, Morwick Peterson.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much, Liz.
And Morwick is looking very different. Do you want to share what you're actually wearing today?
I am actually wearing a complete piece by me. It is absolutely different. I have my Puma Alexander McQueen collaboration sneakers on. It is dopeless, and I'm going to tweet a picture. Yes. I have an amazing inspired Indian type of a pants.
Which he may not be wearing when he leaves. I may have stolen them.
And a lovely peach linen jacket and just a t-shirt. It is so hot and humid outside.
And Morwick, why the choice of shoes that you're wearing today?
The choice of shoes, it just goes with how I put the outfit together, I think, Liz. I think it was appropriate because the pants is it balloons out and then it's very skinny. So it was a good thing wearing the high top boots that goes right into the thing. So there's emphasis on the pants and on my sneakers.
Is it just the style of shoe or is it also about the brand?
It's about the brand too.
It's about McQueen, baby.
It's just about the McQueens. You know, Nicola introduced me to the McQueens.
We've also got our senior trend analyst, Nicola Cooper, in studio today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
And you look lovely. Do you want to just share what you're wearing?
Absolutely.
Including footwear?
I'm wearing just a statement t-shirt which says Infinite and a geometric patterned A-line skirt with an Obi belt, which is a Japanese belt, which I usually use because I'm quite petite and a lot of clothing doesn't fit me. And this is my go-to belt if I need to cinch in at the waist. And then I am wearing a pair of heels purchased at a local retailer, which were so on trend last, and I purchased them last year, and they're only sort of coming into trend now. So they're more sort of an African tribal element. So yeah, I'm rocking
particularly
heels
the skirt
today.
Is it a local designer? Because I mean, that fabric looks absolutely phenomenal.
This is Zara.
Wow.
Sorry.
On sale.
But shoes is local, so she's still kind of found
and
the
she's
balance.
Still rocking her colors. She is still rocking her colors. If you don't know by now what's her colors,
then we'll send you. We'll tweet it again. We will tweet it. But everyone should know.
Yeah, it's black and white and red lipstick.
Yes. Well, you guys look fabulous today.
Thank
I am
you so
wearing.
Much. You too,
yes, I'm wearing a. Like 3-year-old stretch dress from one of my collections with a little peep back. And I'm also wearing a beautiful pair of a two-tone high heels with heels almost the size of a needle. I'm wearing Kurt Jaeger, who's a British footwear retailer. But anyway, more importantly, here are my three top facts about why it is time to dive into the fashion the footwear industry in Africa, either as an investor, designer, or even just a buyer.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So now, my top fact is Africa's footwear industry may seem unrecorded, but it's actually bigger than we know. And I can't wait to also get some more facts later from Nicola's trend report.
Yeah.
But according to smallstarter.com, African countries like Ethiopia, Ghana, Kenya, Nigeria, just to mention a few, are actually leading the footwear revolution in the continent. Ethiopia, for example, is already home to over 30 tanneries. I didn't even know that. And obviously focusing on footwear and leather goods In 2013 alone, Ethiopia earned over 30 million from shoe exports, which actually ranks it ninth in the global leather goods industry. Can you imagine? That was 3 years ago.
Wow.
And this is only the beginning. I mean, as more countries join in, the value of Africa's footwear industry could grow up to a billion and moving forward. Now, on a South African note, according to FOSS Investments, SAFLEC, which is a body officially appointed by the SA government to promote, facilitate and export South Africa's footwear, represents approximately 138 countries across the country. So I'm again shocked because some of these numbers seem unreal. I didn't think the footwear industry was this big. Now, with an annual production of around 50 million pairs of footwear, can you imagine 50 million pairs of footwear a year?
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, major export markets include Africa, US, UK, Australia. The good news is also that Africa is actually still the major destination region for more than 70% of SA's total exports when it comes to footwear.
Wow.
So I think that's just a shocker because, like I said, I know that we are big on footwear, but I didn't know to what scale.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I think what's also quite shocking about that, Liz, is that knowing the local industry and the sort of courses and training available, there are very few to none around footwear design.
And I think, Liz, I love that how this topic comes because the Minister of Trade and Industry is still waiting for his invitation from us. So somehow we need to have this again.
We need to have it
because
again.
Because he has so much to say about this particular subject matter that we have.
And I hope he's tuning in because I'm going to my second top fact, which is just also shocking. Africa obviously has the manufacturing facilities to handle demand. And a lot of people say, what's the point of getting into the industry if we are not going to be able to fulfill the demand?
Mm-hmm.
And like the production drama I'm dealing with, and I'm sure a million designers are dealing with in the continent, could also be a bit discouraging. Now, I came across this shoe manufacturer and marketer who's been providing South African consumers with quality footwear for over 100 years. That was before me, you, our grandmas were born. It's called Edels. It's a shoe manufacturer here in SA. And they produce 3,000 pairs of shoes per day.
Wow.
And they're also looking, obviously, to double this in 2 years. And they believe they can go back to producing 35,000 pairs per day like they used to in 1994.
Wow, that's incredible. And it is such an open market here for footwear. You know, we're seeing local designers who started off in other accessory realms, such as Maria McCloy, who we had on last year, going more and more into footwear, including menswear and men's footwear. So, I mean, even Sgt. Pepper launched their own sneakers.
Yeah.
We're starting to see a lot of development around footwear, and hopefully we'll see some emerging footwear designers coming out of it.
I think, too, we have some of the biggest factories in Durban that actually locally produces, I mean, which is very rare. You know, to have the footwear industry that actually produces.
And the tanneries. We have export quality tannery and leather. So it doesn't make sense that we are not manufacturing more footwear.
Absolutely.
Wow. Let's go to my third fact, which is my last fact, top three facts, is the global market is very enthusiastic about our African narrative.
Yes.
And what happens is it also, to me, I think is just proof that we need to keep moving also from the continent. We've seen so many inspired brands and inspired designers out there who may not necessarily be from the continent, but because of their love for the continent, they've actually come up with amazing collections and amazing pieces just inspired by the continent, but their soul is not even here. So there's room for all of us here to actually tell our story. It's more authentic when it comes from your soul. I've got an example, Picolinos, who came up with his Maasai collection, which was launched in Madrid. Now, it's a unique project they produced there. They took the shoes to Kenya to the Maasai women, got the Maasai women to apply their little magic with embroidery, the beads, and all of that and the whole shebang. And what they're doing and what we have to admire as well and appreciate them for is they've actually helped improve the quality of life of the whole community out there. They also obviously pay fair wages, and it contributes to the community in a big way. So obviously, another thing I found out about Picolinos is he came up with a joint venture with other organizations and built a school as well.
Wow.
Where they're actually educating about 400 students as we speak in the African savannah.
That's incredible.
That's incredible.
Then you've got like another example of Brother Velis, who's Canadian, with her shoe collection Velis. And Velis is obviously inspired by Africa. Actually, when I saw her desert boots, it kind of reminded me of what we used to call in Kenya safari boots, or what people who've worn clerks before, you know about the clerks. So her shoe repertoire includes sandals inspired by those worn by Maasai's. It also includes slides modeled after the Moroccan slippers Le Babouche. So she's not African either, but what stops us as Africans to actually just take this thing and run so far away with it that we could be smiling right now? There's so much to
but it. Could it be, Liz, that production, when it comes to shoes, I don't recall, do you have some sort of a sandal that you produced? I'm not 100% sure.
We did sandals, but there's a new, I've got a different collection that we are working on.
But
as
is
well
cost
now.
Production, because I'm not that into footwear, is cost production very expensive to have a proper pair of, you know, shoes made as an independent designer and to mass produce shoes?
Yeah, but just remember, before Nicola comes in, remember more when I was even talking about the fact that we have abundance of raw materials, we've got skills, and we've got labor that's also quite... The reason people come from the other side to bring work here is because we take less. We accept less.
Absolutely. And I think labor costs are obviously cheaper when you're translating the atrocious sort of rand dollar, rand euro, rand pound exchange. And we do undervalue our skills quite greatly in the country. And I think what it is local designers starting to acknowledge the quality and what that quality is worth within the African continent and using our own country to produce for export.
Wow. You know what? I think in a nutshell, Africa's footwear market is still single and ready to mingle. That's what
absolutely.
I see.
Absolutely.
And there's a wide gap between the demand and supply of suitable footwear to satisfy the market. So Africa, oh yeah, let's go. Let's just keep going. Keep your tweets coming. Share with us your favorite African footwear brands at Fashion Lab AF. We also have our contributors who will be joining us on the show shortly. We've got Mile High Fashion with Lynn Jasmine, and we've got Echoes from New York with Edgy Benson. Also, just a quick reminder, again, our favorite segment, or my favorite segment, is still running as usual. So if you care about who you want to dress and why, and you want to share it, let's share it, and let's link up at the end of the show and we share ours as well. I want to go straight into introducing a very special guest who's joining us today. She's a former Ford model. Her name is Sharon Okubo Kamperbach. She's of Kenyan and Trinidadian origin, and she's the face behind Kio Viatu. Kio Viatu will obviously get her to talk about the brand, but Kio Viatu in Swahili means glass shoes.
Oh, wow.
So, Cinderella.
So she's definitely been pushing this brand for a few years. Kio Viatu is a high-end, luxurious woman's shoe company. And she's also founder of the 2050 Soul Movement, which she'll also be sharing with us a bit about. So Sharon, besides her footwear involvement, she's definitely a dear sister to me. She stood in that scorching heat by my side during my wedding as one of my best mates. She's also took me, I think, 17 years ago to one of my first castings in New York as a model. Yeah. Literally dragged me in the car from D.C. and said, we are going to New York because you belong to the runway. So she's we've had a very good relationship. And we would love to welcome the one and only...
Rolls.
Sharon Okubo Kamperbach. Welcome to the show, Sharon.
Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you. Good morning. Good afternoon. It's morning here for me. How are you guys doing?
We're doing very good. Thank you so much for asking. Just a little bit hot in South Africa in Johannesburg and a bit humid. But we cool. We're not complaining, Sharon. We're not complaining.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
So, Sharon, welcome to the show. Could you just share with us a bit about the story behind your shoe brand, Kio Viatu, and the market response?
Sure. Well, a little bit about the brand. Kio Viatu is handcrafted and manufactured in Italy. We are sustainable, eco-friendly, and meaning we use less chemicals and recycled materials, such as shattered mirrors, recycled clothing pieces to complete the shoe. The shoe has been around for about 5 years, so we're fairly still new in the industry. The shoe is designed for women that are in control, that are bold, they are daring and seductive. The idea of the shoe was just to use recycled materials and not to be so abusive to the world, to society. You know, we're developing a green philosophy. And actually, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. I was just going to ask, when you said the shattered glasses, were you like breaking glasses in people's houses? Or did you have like...
No, actually, in Italy, they take the glasses, of course, because they're equipped for this, and they shatter them. Then they file them down so they're not so sharp where they can hurt the client. And they file them down, and then they're specifically glued onto the shoe so that it doesn't fall off when you're wearing the shoe.
Oh, wow.
It's a very detailed, complex shoe that takes – it could take six hours to a week just to work on one pair. So it's also very expensive to make the shoe.
Wow.
On top of the shoe, we use Swarovski crystals, and that's all handcrafted.
Wow.
So it's very detailed and time-consuming.
So I was going to say, I remember waiting for a shoe. I'm still waiting on. Are they still, do you know if they're still producing mine?
Well, because it's so expensive and so detail-oriented, the big factories are not looking to produce this shoe. So we shifted to a smaller factory, family-owned, but it's still very time-consuming for the workers. So what we're doing is coming up with a new line, and that's not so time-consuming for everybody and less expensive. It costs about $300 to manufacture just a pair of shoes. So we really have to cut back and find a better way to market them.
By the time you add all your costs, I mean, like... I was going to say who's buying, but obviously you've been selling the shoes. So.
Yeah, I was
our biggest target market has been in Dubai. We sold in Dubai, the Cartel Dubai, it's concept boutique. So they've been our biggest clients for the shoes.
Sharon, it's Moi, Kim. I mean, wow, I'm still so, it's really still beyond me how innovative this is, because, I mean, when I went through and, you know, I've done a little bit of research, I said to myself, how phenomenal, like, you know, to have like a glass shoe. But in terms of manufacturing, and I'm you have touched it and by mentioning how expensive it is, but in general, do you find the reason, and we were discussing in the opening, do you find that we don't have a lot of African footwear designers because of costing and maybe having to manufacture in China, or you know, and do you think it has a lot to do with costing? That is my question.
It does have a lot to do with costing. I think in Africa or in any other country, if you don't have deep pockets, it's going to be impossible to mass produce such shoes or just shoes in general. But you have choices. You can focus on smaller factories. You can, you know, go to your locals that they can make these things for you. And that's one thing I'm looking to do, is instead of having Italy make everything on the shoe, is to take it to Kenya and have the locals work on the smaller parts of the shoe, you know. So there are ways to cut your costs and still accomplish your goal.
Sharon, I just want to ask, where did this whole initiative, I mean, I love the fact that so many models, you know, and you high-profile models end up becoming these amazing fashion designers. But, I mean, in terms of the want and need, how did this come about? I'm still so shocked. How did this come about as an African-born and bred female to say, you know what, I'm going to take this risk and I'm going to design and create glass shoes?
Well, you know, the truth is, after modeling, and, you know, I thought, well, I'm not going to work for someone, even though I went to school I attained my degrees.
Yeah.
It was not until I went to Liz's wedding. I could not find any shoes to save my soul. So what I did is I said, well, let me create a prototype and see if that works. And there it was, you know, the birthing of Kio Beatu. I made a glass shoe, got it through the airport security somehow. You know, they questioned it. But I said, you know, it's just a shoe. And we when I got to Mombasa, you know, all the girls loved it. And I said, hey, here we go. This is the birthing of my new shoe, my new brand.
Sharon, you...
So I have a lot to say thanks to Liz for that.
Sharon, when
you're
I
welcome.
Look...
I hope I get some shares or some I want in.
Your form of shoe and the shoe design is what we call in the fashion world bricolage. It's a combination of different kinds of textures and detailing. So that must mean that they are very, very limited in addition, right? So what is
your
minimum and your maximum in terms of production?
Well, minimum, I don't sell whole, we obviously don't mass produce. So the boutiques will ask for a minimum of 10 or a maximum of 30 to 50. So it's very limited and it's only for a specific market. Obviously in Dubai, they love the bling bling and that's where it sells the most.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's a very limited market.
And do you include the kind of narrative around the shoe of like, where this glass comes from and the story behind it, because it's a very interesting story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, when I sent out the proposals and the lookbooks, it's all packaged with the story behind it from the time, you know, I was looking for the shoes to go to Mombasa to just every little detail, our journeys in Italy to find the smallest family-oriented factories. It's all packaged in the lookbook for the retailer to look at.
Yeah, because these are some serious heels.
Sharon, I'm just very curious. My last question is, if you can share, what do they retail for? I mean, when you speak about Swarovskis, I'm like, my pockets. No wonder it's in Dubai.
So the Kia Viatu Classic, which is just the silver shoe with the pearls on it and the shattered mirrors, that goes for about $2,400. And then our least expensive shoe is about $600, which is the blue. It's a blue shoe with just crystals and no, it doesn't have any pearls, but it does have the shattered mirrors as well. And spikes as
dollars.
Well.
Dollars.
Yes. Thank you. I'm glad I'm a male.
We're not speaking rand, guys. We're speaking dollars.
You're speaking dollars.
But yes, but what's so cool, obviously, for our listeners as well, is we've actually tweeted some of those pictures so you can actually see the shoes and everything. Now, Sharon, another question for you is, why did you choose Italy and not Timbuktu or somewhere else for the manufacturing?
Well, you know, when you say made in Italy, it's such a plus for a product. It means care. It means attention. It means quality and fantasy. So this is why we chose Italy. When you put your foot, when you wear these Kia Viatu shoes, it's not like wearing a regular high heel. You're going to feel cushioning all around your foot. It's just very comfortable. You can walk 2-3 hours and you're not in so much pain. So this is why I chose Italy.
What you're saying
they're known for quality.
So what you're saying is, if it was made in Africa, you'd have like, you'd be in cornfield with the corn. Is that what you're implying?
I think I would have to really emphasize to them how the shoe should be, you know. Yeah. I think Italy has this down pack. They're known for quality. They've been doing this for years. This is nothing new to them. Where else? The African continent, we're new to this. We can produce, we can have mass production, but I don't think the quality is
absolutely
up to par.
Huh?
Just yet, we're getting there. But when it comes to the shoe industry, but then you have your upcoming designers like Aura James and Swahilis that have grasped the concept and they're moving forward with quality shoes.
And I think, Sharon, because your clientele is so specific. You know, I mean, it really takes someone of, if I may, of class and of taste, you know, and someone that has enjoys the finer things in life. But do you think in the near future, in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time, that you're really looking at expanding it and introducing it to the Pan-African market?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Actually, I'm working on a collaboration right now with Liz, and we're looking to have some of the shoes manufactured and done in Africa as well as in Italy together, because this is, you know, where we want to bridge these two, you know, Africa and Italy together. Africa is known for their vibrant handmade crafts, their designs, their textiles. It's just rich in culture. And then bring Italy together and we can merge these two rural native crafts and sophisticated high fashion, merge them together and you have a wonderful product.
What I also just love about that, Sharon, is the mere fact that you're looking at bringing, you know, contributing positively to the development and job creation, which is something that is much needed in our industry. And just for the mere fact that you said, you know, looking at the Maasai ladies in Kenya, you know, to sit down and create jobs. I mean, it is people like yourselves who we really take our head off and we say thank you, you know, from sitting from abroad and thinking of infrastructures, that way that we can create, you know, growth and development and for us to continue and grow within the African global fashion industry. Thank you so much.
Sharon, just to add on to what Sharon's saying, yeah, is I also find personally as a shoe lover, is there's just shoes that I can't find, and I'm not even being funny. I'm 100% African, supporting the African industry, whether it's footwear or whatever type of fashion. But at the end of the day, I really feel like this collection or collaboration we've set up and that's coming to life and will be launching very soon is really going to also move us ahead. I've got like a lot of, I've got a top 10 of my favorite African footwear designers, which we'll talk about later. But at the end of the day, one of the things I noticed with their brands is no one's really taken a risk to bring in, there's just something missing in the market. Mm-hmm. There's a certain type of heel. There's a certain type of, there's something that I'm looking for that if I could find in Africa, I'm no longer going to the high street in London. I promise. I'm not even going anymore.
I'm just going to jump in on that as well. I find that our footwear is targeted very strongly towards an older or mature audience and not to the youth market. And, you know, I think that is quite a very open gap to tap into because, you know, young women that need something cool and edgy, I mean, there's tiny things there.
Sharon, it's been great. Yeah, it's been great talking to you. One last question before we leave is, have you seen that your footwear where you manufacture your footwear actually affects your distribution and sales, or is it just, it doesn't matter? Does it play a role in that?
It depends who your target market is. It does matter and it doesn't. So if you're targeting your A-listers, your Rihannas, your Lady Gagas, then yes, they want a shoe that's made in Italy or in Spain. They don't want something that's manufactured in China. So it really depends who your target market is.
Hmm. Wow.
How can our listeners connect with you?
Well, you can always get us on Twitter at KioViatu or info@KioViatu.com, or you can always find us on Facebook.
Wow, all Sharon, right. Thank you. So anything for the guys just before you go in the future?
Because no.
Not yet. We're working on that.
Sharon, thank you so much.
I think we'll leave that to Maury. Let him run with that one and invite us to the launch.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Thank you so much. It's been lovely having you on the show. Have a lovely day, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you, Sharon.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back after the break. That was Sharon Okubo-Cumberbatch with KioViatu.
Keeping it real. On CliffCentral.com.
I patiently waited for you for 9 months. I would sit in my chair and talk about how I longed to meet you. I knew you'd be the most beautiful baby in the world. I was ready for you, but I wasn't ready for this. If you have a child in need of reconstructive surgery, Smile Foundation can help you. Visit www.smilefoundation.co.za or call us on 0861-276-453.
Download the Cliff Central app. Available now on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store.
Fashion Lab on CliffCentral.com.
This is the Fashion Lab, and today we are talking footwear, especially in the African space. We've been speaking to Sharon Okubo-Cumberbatch with her brand KioViatu, and we are now going straight to the trend report with Nicola Cooper to get some more scoop on what's really going on here. Okay. Welcome, Nicola.
Thank you very much. So this is the weekly trend report, and as you know, you can always contact me on Twitter or Instagram at Nicola Coop. If you've got any questions, just hashtag Ask Nicola Cooper, and we'll try and answer them as best as we can. So I'm going to go into a little bit of a fashion forward discussion, because I know we're going into autumn winter in South Africa. But as you know, I'm a trend analyst and I live in the future. So we're going to start speaking about spring summer 2016 and specifically around young women's footwear. As I mentioned earlier in the interview with Sharon, I feel that there is a very little focus on young women and the particular styles that young women adopt within South Africa. And we know young women in South Africa are very fashion forward. So the focus this year around young women's footwear shifts to straps and hardware. It really is kind of ambiguous pieces such as platforms, sandals, and sneakers with newness. Comforts and ease are secondary influences as manifested in easy slip-on silhouettes and uppers. So what this kind of does is show us that it's gone from wedges and heels into a very, very comfort zone. For the past 2 years, we've seen Birkenstock eke back into the market as a slider, and we're seeing the continuation of that becoming a more fashionable item. So sneakers that communicate everyday ease, sidestepping authentic laced uppers for streamlined slip-on finishes. And then what we're looking at is the ballet flats and platforms, which feature intricate lace-up ties and strap details for a new take on form and function. And I actually just posted a pair of ballet flats from Miu Miu on my Nicola Cooper Trends Facebook, and they are the perfect combination of femininity and a little bit of punk. That's where these kind of hardware elements sneak in. So the addition of heavy hardware moves the sandal into tough, goth reminiscent for spring summer 2016 and echoing a subversive romanticism. So it's a kind of contradictory between, even when you look at Sharon's designs, it's that kind of tough add-on metal glass element with a purely feminine silhouette. So some of the key pieces or key footwear pieces for buyers out there or for trained forwards is the slip-on. It really is a hybridized slip-on. It usually denotes a relaxed finish, a loafer, sneaker, slides, or plimsolls. And then we're looking at a short stacked heel, which elevates the item for a more formal feel. So even the slip-on is moving into a more formal feel. The laceless sneaker, which we're seeing quite a substantial amount on. Last week, I was wearing the new Rihanna's, which are laceless sneakers. So this is going to be a very, very large trend, specifically around the sneaker freak trend in South Africa. So it's ongoing comfort footwear that's driving this particular trend, but it's a sporty vibe, which is reminiscent of sports likes and athleticism, and moving it more into a little bit of a glamorous stage. When you are purchasing these, opt for bold tonal colorways or expressive hardware for a statement look. One of my favorites is the goth sandal, and that's only because I'm me, and and this really aligns to my personal taste. And they're very edgy goth platforms and sandals with heavyweight hardware toughening up perennial shapes. So oversized chains, repeat pearl embellishments on the sole, and tough metal plates for exaggerated effect. And what I'm going to do is incorporate a little bit of the images of these particular shoes on Fashion Lab as well as my personal site, so you can have a look at what we're talking about. And then going back to the Miu Miu strapped ballerina, which again is the encompassing of feminine with a balletic feel, but then a self-tie wraparound ankle straps or lace-up fronts. So crisscross elastics add a more athletic element, while metal hardware closures lend feminine flaps that kind of that subversive kind of toughness that girls are choosing to go with these days. And then, of course, I'm just going to revert back to the platform. The platform is really taking over from the wedge, and it's nice for people such as myself. I refer to myself as short, but being, you know, 5.65, I'm not as short as an average South African. But what I do is I like height. So I tend to wear heels or wedges. And the platform is just a lovely way of doing it on a more casual basis or in a different manner. So it's a new way to add height to your look without engaging with a wedge or a heel.
I just have a question. So that platform really is really the thing.
Platform
I
is
can't,
the
I
thing.
I feel like I'll fall over. I can't even, I don't know how people walk in those.
But I think,
it's just,
wow.
It's, you know what, I think for flat-footed people, there's just a challenge. My feet always need to be at this angle. So walking like this is going to be duck
walk.
Have
you ever worn a pair like
this? No, but I'm just imagining that. I'm imagining I'm barefoot with like another 4 inch of barefootness that's elevating me up. And
this
then
is the key element.
Wobbling like a duck.
The key element is that the ankle strap associated with the platform allows a little bit more comfortability and wearability. So you don't lose your shoe and hit someone in the head with it.
Nicola, just before you and Mom said something very curious, because she's very in love with you now, is that she's in the medical industry, and she says, what is it? There's so many young doctors now who just don't care. And being a doctor is having, you know, she says, is there something, because she heard me speaking about footwear, is there something that can be done that is still appropriate and comfortable for medical staff?
I think they need to just wear heels. Sorry. We'll just send them some heels. Sorry.
Well, I mean, I'm going to say to Mom, hi, Mom, love you. I think sneakers are the way to go. Please, you know, I can also refer to my croc theory, which is a trend theory. We can't deny that crocs are a trend in those kinds of industries because of comfort. Mm-hmm. But if you want to be a stylish doctor, you should look more towards sneakers. And just,
oh my gosh, sneakers and like those dresses, already their dresses are horrendous.
But they don't wear dresses, they wear scrubs.
Well, those things that just look like square dresses, square coats, scrubs, whatever you want to call them.
So just to finish off, I'm going to give you a list of sneakers. If you are a sneaker freak or you are really engaging with the sneaker trend, there are some sneakers you should be looking out for. One is your futuristic high top as a silhouette. So high-end designers and celebrities are tapping into this high top trend, putting their names into leading styles such as Kanye West's Yeezy boot. The silhouette features a calf high top line and loose exaggerated uppers with relaxed laced fastenings. Mo, are you wearing some high tops today?
Yeah.
Then if you want a sort of a more of a younger feel, your basic plimsolls. These are, they remain quite a key item on the streets, following on from spring with canvas uppers, which can be anything from polka dots to florals. And it's a low key look. It's a very informal look, and it is something that is quite economical, so it's a trend that anyone can adopt. Then the modern runner, as we know, working out has become quite a substantial lifestyle trend. So sneakers have been an unstoppable force on the street, not only as a function for running, but also as a statement in terms of fashion. Then we have our basketball high tops. And then we have platform sneakers. So then again, you're seeing that platform in women's wear coming into platform sneakers, or what we call elevated sneakers, that are coming into trend. And these vary in height from quite low heights to quite high heights. And quite interestingly enough, I went to the Adidas concept store the other day and found out from Johan, who is the manager of the store, that most of the platform sneakers are sold to men.
Wow.
So it gives them that sort
oh
of
my
height.
Gosh. No wonder these short men are starting to look tall.
Look tall, yeah. And just rushing through. Soul detail, soul focus, new details, black and white, fluorescent flashes, metallic. MJ, you were wearing a pair last night at the Spree launch. Red as a signature color and white as a signature color.
Sorry, Nicola. I'm so sorry.
So that, in a very, very fast nutshell, is the kind of sort of footwear you should be looking at. I will be placing some up on the internet, and you can gauge them on Fashion Lab and Nicola Cooper.
Thank you for that trend report.
I just wanted to say, Liz, I've never seen you in a pair of
sneakers. I hate sneakers. I'm sorry. Never. And I had to say it. And I was, I said it. I'll say it again. Yeah. I really do not like sneakers. You'll never find me in sneakers. So, like, you guys enjoy the sneaking, sneaky
the
life.
Sneaky phase.
Yes, but I'll pass on that. I'm a heel girl. I just need my heels on. And I was also going to just let our audience know, our listeners know, that, you know, if there's anything that Nicola mentioned that you don't understand, like plimsolls and all the other things, just Google them, because there's a lot of
hashtag and communicate with her.
Yes, just ask me, hashtag ask Nicola Cooper, and I will happily answer any questions that you have.
Wow, guys, our lines are open. You definitely can call in on 0861-555-189. You can also just share with us on Twitter what your thoughts are, or, you know, come and bring your little questions around the African footwear industry. We're holding it down here, and we're going to be just rolling over to Adhiambo Mulalowas, who's the founder of Galago Footwear Brand. And we spoke to her, and here's what she had to say about footwear.
Hello, my name's Adhiambo, and I'm the founder of the brand Galago. We make African-inspired footwear, from waxprint pumps to rubber slip-ons. We've got you covered. But our core product are instantly customizable and interchangeable sandals. And it cannot be easier. Simply update your look from beach-time glam to urban casual with one sole. My advice on footwear, wear shoes that suits your individual style, make sure it's comfortable, and make it last.
Well, guys, thank you. That was Adhiambo.
And she has beautiful
shoes. Have you seen the Galago brand?
It's absolutely. I couldn't believe when you said to me, it's hers. I'm like, no ways. This looks like you got them in London somewhere.
And you know what I love about it more? I don't know if you followed it. She's now doing something where you design your own. So even though she's a designer, she gives you an opportunity to see what color string you want to tie it up, how you want to tie it, and all of that stuff. So you can go to galago.coza and actually find out what Adhiambo is doing. She's got a beautiful footwear brand, and she's definitely doing her thing. She's one of the people to look out for in the continent. We're going to be rolling over to Echoes from New York, but Nicola, you know, your trend report is shocking that, you know, we have... Seriously, what do you call the platform with the thing again? Sorry?
The platform.
I have to say that sometimes.
Are those popular for women then?
They are. You know what? Sometimes, you know, in fashion critics, it's referred to as the return of the ugly shoe. Mm-hmm. Really, it is. Because it is something that is not necessarily adopted by everybody. As you know, trends aren't. But it does offer you an alternative look than just going to your standard wedge or heel. And like I said before, this is a young woman trend report. Yeah. So, you know, I do sometimes give talks to younger women and say they need to look after their feet.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not necessarily shove them into a pair of heels when they're 16 years old, but they might want to have the height. So if you're a mom or someone that's purchasing your daughter a pair of shoes that might just give her the extra height, then a flat form is a nicer option. And a more younger option.
Let's roll over to Echoes from New York with Edgy Benson. Edgy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Edgy.
Hi, guys.
Hi,
good afternoon.
I was going to say welcome to the platform, but then...
We just have all the New Yorkers. We just have all the New Yorkers today.
Welcome to the platform.
Edgy, we want to know before you jump in straight on as what you're wearing and what footwear you're wearing today. Now that we are talking
today, about... you have to know, you guys... This is 6 o'clock in the morning.
No shoes.
So
okay, what will you look forward to wearing at 9?
But yesterday I went to a gallery show and I had my Balis. I love Bali shoes. Ooh. When I can find the ones that I like. But they make amazing shoes for men. And that was what I wore. I wore my Bali boots yesterday.
I will not push on to what you're wearing because maybe you're in pajamas, but let's go straight into the point. You take us straight into your Echoes from New York for the week.
Well, today I think the conversation about shoes was so interesting. For me, I like to think that I'm a shoe connoisseur. I love shoes, both men and women. And this season at the shows, there was a detail that I loved for the women's shoes. They had this asymmetrical toe, which Christian Louboutin showed. And I loved it. And a lot of the other players showed it too. And then for men, you know, in New York right now, for men, there's a lot of, I think it's almost global. It's, there are a lot of browns in every shoe, you know, loafers, boots, Oxfords, wingtips, that just, the brown is everything you see on the street. The guys are just loving it and eating it up, you know? But essentially today, I just feel like the conversation was great. But I feel like in listening to the shoe conversation, I see there's a way that we can apply Africa better in design. I think that the shoe industry is actually showing us how this is done, you know, in the way that it trusts African manufacturing, you know.
Yeah.
Ethiopia is a huge shoe manufacturing hub, you know. A lot of the world is producing there. So I think the shoe industry is actually showing that Africa has strength in this space, you know, and also how the shoe industry is helping to develop and build capacity, like what, Piccolini is doing. Like I was listening to Liz say what they're doing in Africa with the Maasai tribe, you know. So I think it's so cool to see that this is, I don't think that design in Africa is a blip. I think with so high energy, but the shoe industry is actually quite functional in the sense that it's transcendent. I mean, it's like it's selling Africa across the globe. So.
So what you're saying, Edgy, in a nutshell, is that you feel that the one thing, so even though we have abundance of raw materials, we've got skills, we've got the capacity to produce, but you feel like we just need to fine tune our skills when it comes to the detail around.
I think just to pick up with that, Edgy, is that we lack designers.
Yeah.
We lack shoe designers.
Yeah.
Who understand form and function and what it is to make a comfortable shoe, but at the same time to make a beautifully aesthetic item. And there is, you know, really no training in that.
Absolutely.
And I find it very, very surprising. And I do know after lecturing for many years that individuals sometimes want to go into that field, yet there is no opportunity in it.
But like,
yeah.
Yes.
I agree totally. I agree. But I do think though, like for the few skills that we have, if there's a way to direct them to local manufacturing, it's quite empowering to see that there's a local factory that can help them fine tune their ideas. And once you start to see your ideas in three dimension, it takes a totally different, it just empowers you so much because you can now see this idea, you know. So I think that's one way that we can improve shoe design and to catch up with shoe manufacturing. Right now, shoe manufacturing is up there and shoe design in Africa, it's way down here.
Actually, I just want to ask you, because I know you work a lot with, you know, manufacturing and big factories around the globe. And especially I want to take it to China. And for us, that comes from the African continent. You know, is it an expensive process? You know, for us in terms of, you know, starting with a sample range and then going into mass production. Is it an expensive process as you coming from the African continent? Is it something that we can really see a good profit margin?
We can.
Oh. Absolutely, absolutely. And now with production in Ethiopia, we don't even
we don't need to go
to China.
We don't need to go anywhere.
In Ethiopia.
Liz is just saying, no.
I'm like, no. I'm like, let me answer that for you. We are not going anywhere. We are keeping it right here. I think what also, just to add on Morwick, is the one thing that I've heard Sharon say and Edgy and also Nicola emphasize on is the fact that we don't have those hot shoes that we are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have them. So it means that maybe a solution could be getting all of this manufacturing footwear production facilities,
yeah,
getting some sort of representation from them, taking them to markets like Italy, who have been, who are known for fine detail when it comes to footwear,
yes,
giving them some time out there, getting them to bring the skills back here, because like I said, we do have skills, but because we've all mentioned there's something missing in the market.
There is something
and that is what maybe should be then, that's what maybe the government of SAFLEC, for example, for South Africa, should invest in.
But the DTI, they do fund people who open up manufacturing. So maybe that is what we need to open up in Johannesburg.
No, let the people who are already doing that do it.
No, I will do it, Liz.
But we all agree that
we'll manufacture your shoes.
Yeah, but I think, no, not you, Morwick. Not my shoes. Let's take it outside, okay? I think, Edgy, we are on the same page. It's about being able to tighten that end that we feel there's, yes, a gap in. And once, because already look at how much is getting generated as income for the continent when it comes to footwear exports. It's shocking. It is shocking. Ethiopia is like on a whole new.
Look at it from this point. When you're a fashion designer in Africa, you worry about production.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
If you're a shoe designer in Africa, you don't have to worry about this. So shoe design in Africa actually has a huge advantage. It's how do we encourage young designers in Africa
to get into that industry?
They have the ideas already. How do we empower them?
Exactly.
Just direct them to manufacturing, because the popularity is with fashion design and not with the shoe design. Once we encourage them and let them know that there's manufacturing out there, you know, these ideas will come to play for sure.
Edgy, thank you so much for your feedback. Before you get off, we'd like to just go through our last segment, which is who would you want to dress and why? And we're going to start with you, unfortunately. Unfortunately.
Okay.
Who would you want to dress and why, Edgy?
I'm going to stay with the panel and say I would like to dress Morwick.
Oh, thank you. I've been waiting for weeks. I have been waiting for weeks.
No, because he has like a really innate sense of style.
Thank you, yes, so much.
And I just think I would like to dress him for the weekend, you know, for Friday or the weekend.
You.
Just where he takes up his tie and stuff and just put
like
him
today
in something casual, like, and preppy, yeah, because he has great style.
Wow. Morwick, who would you want to dress?
My choice, House of Independence.
Don't say Edgy.
No, it's also on our panel. It's Nicola Cooper. Nicola has been in my bow ties. And I think even with her interest in the pants and more interest in what I am slowly discovering about myself, learning from Nicola, I think my choice is Nicola. I think, and there is something that I'm going to dress you in.
I hope it's those pants.
Yeah.
Nicola, who would you want to dress and why?
Keeping on the footwear kind of trend, Svi Karp, a local designer who showed recently at SA Menswear Week, was wearing a pair of platforms whilst voguing on the runway after his show. He's known for being one of the most adventurous in his own personal style. So I think I could have a little bit of fun with him. I'd love to dress him.
Wow. I would want to dress our...
Here comes the killer.
Oh, God.
The queen.
So listen, yeah, our pastors at church, both husband and wife. So I go to this church called Rivers, and I'd love to dress Pastor Olivier and Vilma, because they are so stylish. If anyone's listening, please Google Rivers Church and find this couple. They just have it on fire. So I would love to dress them because they really know where we're going. We could go somewhere together. Pastors, I hope you're listening.
But Liz goes to a very fancy church.
Guys, look, it's been beautiful. Edgy, thank you for joining us on. Have a great day in New York as well.
Thank you, Edgy.
Thank you, Edgy.
And keep styling on that footwear section while we look forward to finding ways to really get ahead in this industry. It's been great. We are on www.fashionlabafrica.com and continue and keep the tweets coming. We are on Fashion Lab AF on Twitter. Peace and love, and thank you.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye bye.
Fashion Lab on CliffCentral.com.